And Lord, haste the day when our sight shall be, we will see the Lord. What a blessing that is, and I can't believe that I mangled that line. But it was better to read it and sing it than to hear me say it. Welcome. Good morning. How's everybody today? Hopefully not enjoying a second tryptophan nap. Hopefully we will do better in our worship as we go along. If you would turn to the book of John, chapter 1. John chapter 1. And I did not intend for our lessons to both include the word two. We're going to look at two beginnings this morning and then two trials before Herod this evening. So that was just the way things worked. We're going to talk this morning about a very familiar passage, which our brother Greg read for us earlier, and a passage that's a little tricky to read. We all have it in our mind, I think, the way it is. When you actually read those the word out so many times, it can be easy to trip yourself up. Our New Testament is not one book. The New Testament is 27 different books, and they weren't necessarily written in order. So that you have the first, the main groupings of books early on in the church were Gospels and Paul's epistles along with the book of Acts. Those were the first main books that were put together in groups of books. And when they put the Gospels together, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they did it essentially by the order in which they were written. Now, we don't know for certain on what day Matthew or Mark got done writing their books, but most assume that Matthew and Mark were first and then Luke. And John, for good reason, is assumed to have been written many years after. And really, you have maybe as much as 40 years difference between when Matthew was written and when John was written. And the idea is this. John, with the language that he used, was trying to start the New Testament off in the same way that the Old Testament began. So that the Old Testament begins with, in the beginning. And thus, the New Testament would begin with the new beginning. So that we have the old life of sin and death. We have the new life in Christ. We have an old world. We now live in a new world where mercy and forgiveness reign. That we have been reborn. We are a new people for God. All that is a new creation just as much as it was in the first days of creation in Genesis chapter 1. So you have this language that John uses, including the word, and that the word there means the idea of a thought, the expression of a thought. So can I have a word without a thought? No. So when it says that Jesus came to do God's will, he came to express his thoughts in his being. So Christ is the living word. If you think, well, what would God do here? How would God think about something? You can look at the life of Jesus Christ, and you can see the will of God, his mind, expressed in a human life. And what a blessing that is. Well, there's a lot to learn here, and we're actually going to look at two things. We're going to talk about the in the beginning essence of it, and then we're going to take a look at the idea of understanding how we know the word is Jesus. Has it ever struck you as odd when Greg read those verses this morning, the word Jesus is not included there. The word Christ is not there. You hear preachers say, John chapter 1, clearly about Jesus, and you might say, well, how do we know that? So if you start with the book of Genesis, you start with the same three words, in the beginning. Essentially, you have in the beginning God, if you think about it, in both of them. If you assume Jesus being the Son of God is God, in him the fullness of deity dwelt bodily, it is in the same in the Old and the New Testament, in the beginning God. So Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, again, we're going to establish the identity of Jesus here. We're going to claim that he is the Word, and we'll show you how we prove that in just a moment. But it's interesting to note that everything centers around what? Without God, would there be physical creation? No. Without God among men, would there be forgiveness of sins? No. I enjoyed what Brother Jim had to say about our contribution earlier. That understanding of the closeness associated between the death of an animal and my sin, that was something that they understood in the ancient world. So the idea that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without a perfect lamb, there's no shedding of blood. Without Jesus, there's no salvation. So just as without God the Father, there's no creation, without God the Son, there is no salvation. So let's read the rest of the text in John chapter 1 and begin in verse 2 and read through 5. John 1, I can't help but read it from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Did you ever think about the idea that ever since God said, let there be light, there's always been light? Now you might think to yourself, no, there's darkness sometimes. There is darkness sometimes, but you know what's going on in some part of the world at all times? Light. There's never been a time since God spoke it that there has not been light in this world. So when it says here that the darkness has not overcome it, that has a parallel both for Jesus' life and for the creation. So we have this beautiful going along here of the idea of the thing God did, God the Father does, God the Son does. So how do we know? I've just read 5 verses to you. Nowhere in there does it say this is Jesus. So how do we know that? Let's look a little bit at what the text does tell us. And thus to apply the Berean test to it. Because you should never listen to a preacher, who stands up and says, this is so-and-so. In fact, if you hear a preacher say, this is so-and-so, and he reads 5 verses to you, and you don't hear something that proves what he says, you need to start paying attention. The Bereans, of course, the Bible tells us in Acts 17, were more noble than those in Thessalonica. Because why? They searched the Scriptures daily to see whether the things that Paul said were true. Well, let me tell you something. If Paul could use a little Berean test from time to time, certainly I could, and certainly any preacher needs to have the Berean test applied. So, what can we know about Jesus Christ, the Word, from these things? How do we know the Word is Jesus? Well, what we know from John 1:1 is whoever this is was in the beginning. He's prior to time. That he's in the beginning of the new creation, he's the beginning of the Old Testament as well. He was with God, and he was God. Now, those two things are not the same thing. An angel could be in the presence of God, could be with God, but an angel is not God. In fact, when you read Hebrews chapter 1, that's almost all that chapter is about, is Jesus is greater than angels. So we know that this Jesus was with God, but more so, he was God himself. Now this always brings up, I'm sure you've seen the chart before of the Trinity that has the triangle and the circle and all that kind of thing. I think that's good so far as it goes, but it confuses me a little bit. Because if I try to compartmentalize where God the Father starts and God the Son starts and God the Spirit starts, I'm not going to get that right. So the way I like to express it is where God is, the Son is. Where God is, the Spirit is. Where the Son is, God is. Where the Son is, the Spirit is. Where the Spirit is, the Son is. Where the Spirit is, the Father is. Now, that doesn't make a very good chart, but I think it's an easier way to say it. If God is there, Christ is there. If the Spirit is there, God is there. God is one. We say that this is the Godhead, but they are one. There is no one over here and one over there. They are all the same. So why do we say that the Word is Jesus? Preacher, you're talking a lot, but you haven't answered the question yet. Why do you say that this Word is a Christian? Well, is Jesus. Well, what about John the Baptist? Couldn't it be John the Baptist? John answers that question for us in verse 6. Couldn't we say John the Baptist was the spokesperson for God? Couldn't we say he's the Word? Look at what John says in verse 6 of John 1. There was a man sent from God. There we go. Same idea. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. What we're striking out here. There are many that would say that at the time of Jesus in his early ministry that John the Baptist had more followers than Jesus did. There's a very good chance of that. In fact, if you look in Acts chapter 1, you could narrow down every human being that followed Jesus enough to remain with the apostles down to, you know how many people? About 120. But yet this John, who was a messenger from God, who was sent from God, he was not the Word. He was not with God. He was not in the beginning. He was not God. Well, then we still are not going to answer the question as we read a little further. And this is one of my favorite places to read, verse 9 through 13. So John 1, 9 through 13. And we're going to find out more here about both John the Baptist and about this Word. The true light that enlightens everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Now, we still don't have the answer to the Word here. But we have this new idea that's introduced. We have this idea that if we receive him, if we believe on whoever this Word is, whoever this light that's come into the world, if we believe on him, we can become children of God. We can become more than human. Do you ever think of your Christianity that way? You're born physically. You're born a human being. You're reborn. You're born again spiritually by water and the Spirit. You become a child of God. Just let that marinate out there a little bit. What does it mean to become a child of God? Is that real? That's real. God has come to live with us, to be with us. We are favored. We are a special people, not because of what we do, but because of what God has done in us. We are baptized and born of water and the Spirit. It is the moment when the Spirit acts. It is the moment when we are cleansed and the Spirit comes to dwell. And we become, and we cry out with the Spirit of Abba, Father. Why? Because we're the favored children of God. I say all the time, who gets in the house? If my son brings his friends over and he wants to come to the house, we let him in the house. If those knuckleheads show up at my front door and I don't know who they are, they ain't getting in the house. They're not my children. Are you a child of God? Have you been born again of the Spirit? Have you been born and are you on the Lord's team? Because God has a son. Do you serve him? Are you hanging around with Jesus? Are you where Jesus goes? If you're with Christ, then when you get to heaven one day, Jesus will say, "They're with me." And what a blessing. We'll be led into the house. So that's what it means to be a child of God. There's still no identity here. In fact, we're going to go a few verses further, and still, the Bible does not tell us this is Jesus. The Bible has told us it's not John the Baptist. But when you think back to the question Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? We're kind of running through that same list. Is he Elijah? Is he John the Baptist? We know, indeed, that Herod thought that Jesus was John the Baptist. He said, I've cut Jesus, John's head off. This is him resurrected. Look at verse 14. We're getting closer. The Son is revealed by the Baptist. John chapter 14. Let me see where I am here. I apologize. There we go. John chapter 14 and verse 14, please. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, the only God who is at the Father's side. He has made him known." I want you to look back at verse 14 there. It says that John bore witness about him. Who did John bear witness about? He bore witness about the Word become flesh. The Word become flesh. And it says that he says, he who comes after me ranks before me because he was before me. So this phrase that John uses, He who comes after me is greater because he was before me. That is identified as being the same as the Word become flesh. And we have Jesus introduced here, but Jesus is not identified with the Word yet. Jesus is said to be full of grace and truth. If you're ever going to start a radio show, I recommend it as a title. It's used twice in this text. I thought it was a good one. One of the things that you'll notice if you get emails from me is I put, may God grant us grace and peace. That comes from a study of the beginnings and the endings of the epistles. And if the apostles thought it was a good thing to pray for over churches, I thought it would be a good thing to pray over churches. Because we have been extended grace and forgiveness because, through Jesus Christ. And because we all love and know each other and we're humbled by the fact that we've been saved by a Savior, it should bring us peace. Well, here Jesus is full of grace and truth. And we know that the Word is true and Jesus is true. And he says, if I know the truth, it will make me free. If you know Jesus, you know the truth. And if you know Jesus and you learn from him, you indeed will be set free. So we see here that the Word become flesh is tied with this idea of John saying, this was he who comes after me because he was before me. Notice he's going to use the same phrase in verse 29. John 1 and 29 tells us this. The next day, this is John the Baptist. The next day, John the Baptist saw Jesus coming towards him and said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man who ranks before me because he was before me. Now, wait a minute. I have over here in 14 and 15 that the Word became flesh, and John the Baptist said about this Word that became flesh, that he who comes after me is before me, right? And then he comes over here, he sees who walked by? Who's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Jesus. Jesus is he who ranks before him because he was before him. Jesus is the Word flesh. Jesus is the Word. So when the preacher stands up and says, John chapter 1, the Word in the beginning was the Word, and he says that that's Jesus, can he show it from the Scriptures? Yes. Yes, you can. Should you doubt? Should you apply the Berean test? Oh, yes. Should you study to show yourself approved? Should you know that scripture and ferret that kind of thing out for yourself? Yes. This is actually a little bit of a design of trying to show you how to study things out in the Bible. The context of things matters. The idea of different ideas that come together matter. Reading the entire text matters. So I hope I enjoyed this little exercise. I hope you have enjoyed it. I actually started the lesson from that question. But now that we know who the Word is, now that we know that it is Jesus that is the Word, without a doubt, what can we learn from the passage? Well, we learn a lot. If the Word was with God and the Word was God, Jesus is God. That has implications. That matters. Jesus was not born of Mary in AD in 4 BC. No. How can Jesus be not alive, not born until 4 BC, and how can he be in the beginning? He can't if he's just a physical man, but he's not a physical man. The Word did come down and put on flesh, but Jesus is God. And being so, he is eternal. So Jesus was before time, he will be after time. Notice that when this world is burned up, who's still around? God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. Why? Because they are not affected by time. They're not human beings. They are God. So now that we know Jesus is the Word, we know he was in the beginning, we know that all things were made through him, John 1 verse 3. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16, and there are a couple other places that talk about this. Listen to these words. For by him, that's Jesus, for by Jesus all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Ponder that phrase today. Think about how that is. you won't come up with an answer, but it's good to think about. Creation was made through Christ. How was creation made through Christ? Let's think back to Genesis chapter 1. How was there light? Words. And God said, let there be light. And God said, and God said, and God said, and God said. Christ was who through God through whom the world was made. How did God make the world? Through Jesus. What is Jesus? The Word. So God literally made this world, created us through Jesus. Jesus was there. It was made for Him. In Him, all things hold together. Without Jesus, this world collapses. Literally. You ever hear someone say, or have you ever said yourself, that person needs Jesus? I say it a lot. You know, what we typically mean by that is they may need an attitude adjustment. Or they may need salvation. We kind of use that as a colloquial phrase a little bit. If someone is not behaving, we think they need Jesus. If they're not at peace, how many people do you know right now that are not at peace, that are struggling in this world with their mind, and they just can't settle down and they can't get happy? You know what they need? They need Jesus. In Him, all things hold together. That is true about the creation. It is true about our lives. In Jesus, we can hold it together because He is God. Well, the Bible also tells us this about this Word that we know to be Jesus, the Son. Jesus is life. Jesus is life and He is light. Again, think of the first thing that God created. Jesus is life, John 1, verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 11 and verse 25, Jesus says here, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. This is at Lazarus' death. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. How did God create life? In man, He created life. We're told in Genesis chapter 2, He brought the dust of the earth, and He did what? He breathed the breath of life into him. The Hebrew word there is ruach. It means wind or it means spirit. Man was brought to life without the spirit. James tells us that just as the body without light, without spirit is dead, so works are dead without faith. So if our body is dead without spirit, what is it that gave us life? Spirit of God. And Jesus was that life. Guess who gave the Spirit in Acts chapter 2? That was Jesus. Jesus was given authority to give that by God the Father. But just as God breathed physical life into us, Jesus breathes spiritual life into us. Again, without Jesus, without His Spirit, are we going to live eternally? No. We're not going to live in this body. This body is going to be changed. Read 1 Corinthians 15. There's no doubt it's going to be changed. It's just a matter of what it's going to be changed into. And no one really knows. Paul kind of goes through it and says, we can know one kind of flesh and another, but we can't really know the body. But we know this, it'll be glorious. Those who have the Spirit of God living in them will have eternal life. Christians are given the Spirit as a down payment of that eternal life. So just as the first man had spirit breathed into him, we, the new creation, those who live, will have spirit breathed into us. Let there be eternal light. Not life, but light. We've run over this several times today. In the beginning, the first day, God said, let there be light. John says this in John chapter 1 and verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness. We've already identified that as Jesus. Jesus was the light that was coming into the world. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Same text says that Jesus came to His own, and His own did not know Him. We know that to be truth. We know that Jesus was performing miracles. His family sought to take Him away because they thought maybe He lost His mind. His brothers mocked Him. Jesus is going up to the Feast of Booths, and His brothers say, you want to perform miracles? Go to Jerusalem. All the big-time prophets go to Jerusalem. You go to Jerusalem. They, They mocked him. They did not believe until after he proved victory over death. But the light came into the world and the darkness has not overcome it. Don't you know on the afternoon of the crucifixion that darkness thought it had won? Don't you know that had to be Satan's favorite day? He had battled against Jesus. Jesus, when he comes up out of the water from John the Baptist, the Spirit drives him into the wilderness for 40 days. Who's there? Satan. What does he have to say? You can take the easy way out. You can follow me and not the Father. You can feed yourself. You can throw yourself down to prove your power. I will give you all these kingdoms if you just bow down and follow me. Those are not the words of Jehovah God. They're the words of Satan. And certainly the carrot that Satan was holding out to Jesus was, and you don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to let them mock you. You don't have to let them spit on you and hit you and strike you on the head with a stick they gave you as a scepter. You don't have to do any of those things. Yet Jesus did. Darkness tried to overcome Jesus. It could not. All through Jesus' life, there was a plotting and a planning to put him to death. Satan succeeded in that. Satan had him put to death through the people of this world. Jesus was crucified and died. That really happened. What was over the world for hours? Darkness. And in that moment, darkness must have thought it won. But the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Because Jesus didn't stay in that grave. Just as there has never been a day without light since God said it, there has never been a day without the eternal light of Jesus Christ since the Word put on flesh and rose from the dead. There's never been a day when darkness could win. There's never been a day when Satan had the final say. There's never been a day when you could not be a child of God, when you could not be forgiven, and you could let the light of Jesus shine around you and shine from you. Because Jesus overcame that grave. Darkness did not overcome the light. The beginning of the Bible starts with light, and the end of the Bible ends with light. We've already said this repeatedly. John chapter 1, verse 3, God said, the Word. The Word is how the creation was created. Things were made through the Word. The will of God became flesh, became sound, became audible. God says, let there be light, and there's light. That's in the first page. If you think of your Bible as a physical book, and that's in the first pages, if you turn over to the very end, go to Revelation 21. Guess what you see? The light that came into the world, the Word that put on flesh, the life of men, the light of men, the will of God, the mind of God. The beginning of the story and the end of the story. Revelation chapter 21, let's read verse 23 through 25. I said before, if you don't believe the Word of God, the Bible is the Word of God, just keep reading it. Because I promise you, the more you read it and the more you understand, you will go, it's impossible for such a thing to exist as this perfect book. After the judgment day, God is dwelling with men. This is heaven being described. Verse 22 says, I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. Remember earlier in our lesson, John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Verse 23, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. Do you know when sun and moon were created in Genesis chapter 1? Day 4. But wait a minute, preacher. Haven't you said repeatedly in this lesson that God said, let there be light on day 1? Yes, I have. God doesn't need the sun or the moon or the stars to create light. God is light. Jesus, who was with God and is light. So in Revelation 21, 23, it's natural that it says, and the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And the gates will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. Amen. Jesus is the light. God's glory is the light. Jesus is the lamp. Sound like Matthew chapter 5 to you a little bit? What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5? Let your light so shine. Let your light shine. The light of Jesus should shine in your life. The light of the Word should shine from you. Just as the glory of God is emanated from the Son, so the light of the Son should be emanated from us. And then remember that section there in verse 12 and verse 13 about He came to His own and His own did not receive Him. Yet to those who did receive Him, to those who believed on His name, He gave them the right to become a child of God. Who gets in the house? The child of God. The Lord is coming. Jesus tells us in John chapter 14 that He's gone to prepare a place for us. If it were not so, He would not have told us so. And that place is home with His Father. Do you know the Son? Do you know the Father? Are you getting in the house? The children can say amen. Jesus said this to Nicodemus in John chapter 3 about the idea of being born spiritually, of being born differently, of being born not a child of His physical mother and father, but a child of the Father and the Son. Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Because we're born children of this earth, children of the flesh. As we mature, if we refuse to accept Jesus, if we refuse to believe on Him and serve Him, we are in rebellion, and we have chosen to serve Satan. So at some point, you're either a child of God or a child of Satan. What's the difference? Both have been born once. Verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He came into this world as the life of men, as the light of men, and for all who believed on His name, He gave the right to become children of God. He didn't make you a child of God. He gave you the right to become it. There's a big difference in those phrases. He gave you the right to say, if I serve your Son, if I believe in Jesus, if I believe on His name, if I come to you and I say, Lord, not my will but yours be done, if I come and I take all my sins and all my pride and my will and I turn it over to God through His Son and I say, I will serve you wherever you go. I will follow you even if you don't have a stone to lay your head upon. I will do what you would have me do. If you're ready to make that commitment in your life, if you've counted the cost, you have the right through your faith in Jesus Christ to become a child of God. And you can go down into that womb and you can emerge. And the moment at which you submit, the Spirit will work in your life to forgive you, to cleanse you, and then you can walk with the light shining in you of Jesus the Son, Jesus the Light, Jesus the Life, Jesus the Word. Are you a Christian? The being who was in the beginning, who spoke you into existence, wants you to come and make His home with us. If you've never become a Christian, if you've never had the love and the knowledge that you can be right with God because you've been baptized and you've been born again a child of God, we would love for that to happen for you today. Please come forward as we stand and we sing.